Welcome to Art Heroes with JPH, where we believe art heals, connects, and galvanizes. I'm your host, Joanna Patrice Haggerty. On this show, I am honored to have some of the nation's most innovative leaders, artists, and creative business owners to share their unique and valuable experiences, processes, practical tips, and inspirations. Today with me is Matthew Bacote, who is the founder of Asheville Community Enterprises, which launched in 2017. After Matthew's firsthand and longstanding experience in professional substance use and mental health fields, he realized the staff members serving our most vulnerable populations were often overworked and undersupported with resources. And realizing that not only the staff, but the organizations themselves needed support, the Safe Plus More digital application was visioned. Safe Plus More has supported hundreds of staff and community members, including staff from the City of Asheville's Fire Department and Responder Support Services. The app helps in executing their programs and is currently expanding to support staff, clients, and community members across the Southeast. I brought Matt on to talk about his app and what it means to be a social entrepreneur. But first, Matt, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's so lovely. And I think I sort of forgot, you are not only a junior, right? You're a...
I'm actually the third.
That's right. I was thinking it was the third. And I was like, oh man, I can't believe I didn't even think to mark that. Your family has a longstanding history in Asheville. So it's important because your father also was an entrepreneur too. So
yes, very much so. He began the process for us.
I love it. Well, we're going to dive into that. But I think it's important to maybe kick off the conversation with how you and I met, which I love this story. I mean, people talk about LinkedIn all the time and getting messages and being sold to and all these things. And quite frankly, you were one of those people. You know, saw me in a local Asheville community, thought maybe I would have some mental health resources. We connected. We ended up turning into business coach consultant relationship. We've been working together now several years. And I just love that showing that each social platform has its purpose and an intention too. So
yes, it was very helpful to me and never anticipated that we would get this far, but we are.
Agreed. But it's such an honor to have you. And a couple episodes back, I did a little bit of spotlight on some of my clients, and I was able to speak about your business from my perspective and just what I think you've been doing. But I'm so excited to dig in. So let's wind the clock back a little. Let's think about those early days for you watching your father as an entrepreneur. What did that mean to you, and how did that impact you?
Well, watching my father was key to creating the person that has created this app, because I watched him and his work ethics. I can remember the early years of working with him, even during times when most kids are out doing, you know, fun things and enjoying things, I was enjoying something, but I was enjoying working and watching him work and just watching how he really put the energy into making his business thrive. And it did for many years here in the Asheville area. It just instilled that work ethic in me. And as I went, as I've grown, I've just remembered those things in those days. And when it comes times when I have to dig deep, I know what that means to dig deep.
I love that purpose and that drive. And then being able to see that witnessed in your own family is something that I really see is different for the people that I always call art heroes. And those of us who are inventors and, you know, trying to change the world in a big way are certainly art heroes because we look at things creatively. But I'm so glad that you were able to have a little bit of that close to home. So you started kind of getting a little older and you're stepping into your career. Tell us a little bit about the career you had and why you chose the path that you did.
Well, my actual career was in developing a program to support people that were, as I called it back in the early 90s, mm-hmm. which may not be appropriate anymore, but the last, the lost, and the least. People that needed assistance, but often overlooked for various reasons, for economic reasons, for, you know, just not able to make the right connections, whatever the case may be, they were overlooked for assistance and services. And especially around the space of substance use and mental health, because in the early 90s, there's very little offered at that time because we just didn't have the numbers and the federal support that that has evolved to offer now. And so I wanted to develop something that would be an enhancement to what was available, but also a support for those who could not access that kind of care.
I think that is such a vital and important conversation for us to unpack the social implications of discussing mental health, right? And as someone who is in the mental health field myself, and also now as an entrepreneur, we're in it at different times, but we're watching the shifts and watching the changes and watching the ability to say, I need resources. I'm not despondent. I'm not the least. I'm not the last. And understanding that some of those people get left out. And that intention here for you was to really be present for them. And it's just so powerful for those of us who have come after you and are still doing that work to hear what, you know, your experience was and those people working even before your time too in that field. What a challenge we have had to overcome. But collectively, the conversation is speeding up and is catching up. And you're right, those dollar bills and those resources are there. So how did you go from this career to kind of really stepping into the full social entrepreneurship world?
Well, actually, I was basically in the space, not in the technical end of it, for about 25 years before I broached this particular project. And it actually was born about 7 years before the technical project.
As a lot of good ideas do.
So I wanted to create something for youth and young adults. And I did create it. And it was a project that I worked on for about a year back in 2007. And what I wanted to offer or make available was a resource that youth and young adults could have and an answer and get support on issues that youth and young adults were dealing with. Realizing that, you know, in that generation, in that space, kids didn't talk to the right people enough of the times. They would talk to each other or try to just figure things out. And it just exacerbated the problems that they were having. So I wanted to create something where they could actually do the research and see exactly what they would need to address things. And so I created this Youth Yellow Pages book about, it was a 3x5 inch booklet because I wanted it to be something they could not so ostentatious.
Yeah, discreet, right? Yeah. Teenagers are like, no, I don't need this book of support. Wait,
right, exactly. I actually do. And in that book, it was everything from first date to first driver's license, buying a car, getting a tattoo, anorexia, bulimia, date rape, things, all different subjects were in there with frequently asked questions, resources, and just some tips. And so I held on to that book because I discovered that along with my feeling about it, kids didn't often read. So the book was great and it was a great idea. And so I just kind of scrapped the idea and didn't push too much. I saw where the pushback was. And then fast forward to 2015. When the opiate crisis really hit our country, I was in a position to meet with several committees and groups about, you know, how to address the problem locally. And I began to get frustrated with meeting as much as I was because it would always end up with the same result of we're going to meet again and figure out where to go from here. So I said, well, what I'll do is I'll look at what I can offer at the table. And that's when I brought back out the Youth Yellow Pages concept and decided to move it into a digital platform.
That is so smart. And I love how much of that story you're able to unpack. There's so many, I think, pieces that as entrepreneurs and those listening to Biz Radio can really glean, is that iteration in entrepreneurship is sort of the make or break, right? Because you could have sort of been like, ooh, Yellow Page booklet didn't work. Let's never go that route. Okay, these problems aren't getting solved, but I'm trying and that's enough. And I think a real entrepreneur constantly says, okay, this feels like a wall. Am I going up it, around it, over it, smashing it down?
right.
I love that. So yeah, I know when we first started, and it was called Safe Plus More when you moved into the digital realm, right? That's always kind of been named that.
Yes, it had an option. Well, I had an option at several different names for it. Safe Plus More just felt right.
So
it's been that formally from the beginning.
I get that. Well, let's kind of keep going, because again, this conversation of iteration, this is not exactly what the app does now in 2022. So let's just keep unpacking the story about how it went from, you know, obviously it still has this community component, but you're also really honing on this other major need that you're being able to fill.
Yes. And well, so even at the point of the first iteration or the first MVP development of the project, it was created for the youth and young adult areas as well. And what I wanted to do was to begin by addressing the youth and young adults that are in school and in colleges, because the thing that I think we discovered very early in the crisis of the opiate addiction is that it was getting younger and younger. And there were a lot of things in place by then for adults or people out of the general population, but there wasn't any targeted measures to help to circumvent some of the process that got people to that point. So I wanted to kind of address the schools first. And from there, the next iteration or two was around that space, what it would take to get schools interested, parents comfortable, doing the testing, that kind of thing on it. And still there was a lot of resistance, because the one thing that the schools will portray is that they already have the answers. You know, when they're dealing with federal oversight and state oversight, they can't look like they are not on top of the different issues that are going on in their environments. And so when you come along and you say that, you know, I'm not trying to say that you're not, I'm trying to say that we could do better. That's somewhat offensive, and there's a lot of pushback in just hearing that. I believe that has changed as of recently, because you know, with the mental health issues that they've found, that has created this new, or not new, but this tragic situation of school shootings, violence, gun violence, things like that. I think that now people are willing more to say that maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I need to pay more attention to what's up and coming.
Well, and I think you just hit on a great point too. You know, you and I have bounced around nonprofits and agencies and government work. And what we have run up against is, like you said, on paper, it needs to look good. And so sometimes pulling apart those issues gets a little messier, right? When you're cleaning a room, it doesn't get cleaner at first. It usually gets messy because you're moving stuff around and, you know, unpacking that. And so that stigma around schools not having the resources they need has been some things that would sometimes take funding away. Sometimes that would, you know, get people fired. So
that's right.
You understand the sensitivity of it, but it doesn't mean that the issue isn't still really prevalent. And so, yeah, I feel like in so many ways we have to keep having these conversations because you're right. It is unbelievable the research and statistics I do when we write grants for you or when we're really looking at what is the state of the world right now is just increased for everybody, but exponentially for our youth populations. And that's going to cause major issues further down the road too.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I've always wanted to be, kind of on the cutting edge of figuring out what to do next.
Yeah.
You know, and so from there, it's evolved even closer to where I am now. And that's because I wanted to pivot to from that space to the general resources that were available addressing youth, young adults, and adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so that put me in the position of talking more to churches, to municipalities, large employers. Those are the people that are actually engaging with these populations on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So now let's enhance what they offer through the app is where I kind of evolved to.
And it sort of has a two prong, right? Where it's like, yes, we're happy to support the community in connecting to resources they need. But again, this first responder support is so vital. And how can these first responders or teachers or, you know, like you said, clergymen do their job well if they're having their own mental health issues and they don't have their team and resources around? So I love how you're really attacking this problem from, like I said, a very dualistic approach. And I think that's really holistic if we're really trying to see where we are now and what we're working towards in the future.
Yes. And I do want to also say that within this this pivotal period of changing the format and changing the platform, I was able to get some great assistance through the Dogwood Health Trust, and they saw the need for providing this enhanced app to the community, and just with their help over the past 2 years, I've been able to touch more areas of our community, which has helped me to reach beyond our community and began to work in other communities as well, offering this service. And I think that is important to understand about the trajectory of building this app is that along the way, there's been some key agencies and people that have come along that has helped in the mission of rolling this thing out. And of course, you being one of them has been very, very helpful throughout the process of making these changes because there's parts of this that I didn't know. I had a passion. I had a mission and I had an idea and I committed that to the product that I was offering, but then that left a product with no direction.
Yeah.
And that's where you came in to kind of help me to put things in perspective and actually look at where this vision can go. Mm. And that was very helpful to me as well.
I mean, honestly, I think you just summated. We're going to have to wrap this up soon, but I just feel like that you just hit on such the core conversation, right? You can have the passion and the drive and the idea, but you cannot create a business in a silo. I mean, I am technically a solo entrepreneur. You technically are in some of those realms, right? But we have massive teams and colleagues and support systems and mentors. And, you know, the list goes on and on. And I just think it's so valuable for you to hone in on that, right? Your app, Safe Plus More, is foraging forward to find new ways to connect people and for you to honor the fact that you do that through connecting with others. And yes, Dogwood Health Trust has been massive in that evolution, and it's really powerful. And for the last minute or two, we also have this amazing partnership with Health Book Me that is really starting to expand the whole app in a whole new direction too. So for 30 seconds, what's the future looking like? Good luck.
I believe that, you know, the future looks like we're going to be addressing groups and agencies and corporations that support individuals and families. And they can use this platform and together with Health Book Me, be able to reach them in ways that they have not been able to reach them. It expands their reach. It gives them more detail, and it makes people that they serve feel more cared for and supported through their tragedies and their traumas and different situations. And I just really see this really taking shape as we go forward in that first responder space. And thanks to a partner of mine, Ron King, who's a retired battalion chief, I have good direction on what they need and what they lack. And that's going to help to carry this thing into those different markets and around the country. So,
So basically we're just going to see Safe Plus More on every phone in every home across the country.
I believe so.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have to wrap up. I will say, if anyone's curious, just because I know all of his stuff, you can go visit his website at safeplusmore.com. We're on all the Insta social media channels. Check us out there. But Matt, thank you so much for being here today, truly.
Thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to hearing the outcome of this segment.
That's right. And as always, this is Art Heroes with JPH, where we share tips and tools of our community's most innovative entrepreneurs, artists, and creative business owners. Thank you so much for tuning in. And please connect by visiting bizradio.us. or on Instagram or the web at arthero.biz. We'd love to hear your show suggestions or any questions you may have. And as always, stay creative.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.